Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I know it's not Saturday, it's Monday evening. And we hope to have a wonderful show this evening with jazz bassist Christian McBride. Extraordinaire jazz bassist Christian McBride began in 1989. He was born in Philadelphia and he went to the Juilliard School. And then he was snatched up by Bobby Watson. Since then, Christian has played with Freddie Hubbard, McCoy Tyner, Chick Corea, Pat Metheny, Chaka Khan, James Brown, Sting, Queen Latifah, Kathleen Battle. I could go on. And also, not only is he a musician, but he's a composer, an arranger, an educator, and curator. He was named the artistic director of the Jazz Aspen Snowmass Summer Sessions. That was in 2000. In 2005, he was officially named the co-director of the National Jazz Museum in Harlem. Also in 2005, he was named the second creative chair for jazz of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Association. He has done so many things, and I know you jazz lovers who are listening out there are excited about this evening's show, and I hope that he'll be able to call in right now. I'm going to try to reach him one more time on the line here, if you give me a second. He has a new album out called Kind of Brown, and he has featuring Steve Wilson, Warren Wolf, Eric Reed, and drummer Carl Allen. If you're interested in learning more about Christian, you can go to www.christianmcbride.com, and you'll be able to check out all his different albums. He also has a radio show himself on XM Radio. And he's just a nonstop workhorse, this guy. He's always traveling. He was recently touring with Pat Metheny. I know they went to South Africa, and I mean, he's been all over. He's been in Africa, Asia, Europe, you name it, he's probably been there. Also, you can check him out on YouTube. There's a lot of interesting clips of him on YouTube, some of his travels. One of his favorite artists I know is James Brown. I'm going to try to see if I can get him here on the line. Give me a second.
Hi, this is Christian McBride. Please leave a message.
Okay, we're going to try the other number now. One more number. Always traveling, these artists, so sometimes it's a little hard to connect with them a little bit. One more number here. Oh, there we go. I think we got him.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, man?
You.
You are on the air live.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I guess that means I can't. Never mind.
Yeah, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. This is a family show, honey. You can't say what you want to say. Plus, I know certain people might be a little upset if you say a certain thing. So we gonna leave it PG, okay?
Yeah, I think we can do that, right, Cuz?
Yeah, Cuz. So what's going on? You got a new album out, Kind of Brown.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, some of the tones on that. What's going on?
It was time for me, in my mind, to come back home, as we say. My last few CDs have been more kind of fusion, electric-oriented, and I just had this feeling that it was time to come back and do a real just a real straight up and down, straight ahead swinging CD.
Wow, wow. So how did you connect with the different artists? Have you played with them before? I mean, you called them up, they called you. How did you connect with them? You got Warren Wolf, Eric Reed, and drummer Carl Allen on there, and Steve Wilson on saxophone.
Well, you know Carl and I go way back. Carl and
yeah.
I played together in Benny Green's trio for many years, and we also played in Freddie Hubbard's band together. and Carl also played in my first band, the first band I ever led. Eric Reed, we also go way back. He was actually born in Philly. He left Philly when he was a little kid, but he definitely claims Philly as his hometown. We've known each other for years as well, but we never really recorded or played together that much.
Mm.
So I figured it would be a perfect time for us to make some music, because the kind of music we did on Kinda Brown is right up his alley. So I figured there would be no one better.
Right.
Same with Steve Wilson. You know, he's been one of my favorites for a very, very long time. And Warren Wolf was actually a student of mine at the summer program where I teach in Aspen, Colorado. He was a student about 9 years ago, and he played like
wow.
that.
Wow, well, you must have made his day. The teacher is calling the student up to be on his album.
Well, you know, he played so good back then, I said to him, I promise you one day I will call you for a gig. I don't know how long it's going to take, but, you know, I like to think of Warren as the catalyst for this whole band, Inside Straight.
Really? Okay.
It kind of really centers around the sound of his vibes.
Mm. Well, you guys got to check it out. Check out ChristianMcBride.com, and you can listen purchase Christian McBride, you know, gear, his music. You can learn more about him. He just mentioned about the Jazz Aspen program, and he was named in 2000 the artistic director of the Jazz Aspen Snowmass Summer Sessions. Now, you also mentioned you're from Philadelphia. Okay, let's give a shout out to Philly.
Did you also mention that you and I are family?
Well, you know, I didn't want to name drop, but this is my cuz.
I'll do it for you. Joy Keith is my lovely and dear cousin. We roll tight.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, it's funny. When we hang out, when we used to hang out, we were real tight, and people used to think he was my brother and that I was his sister.
Yep.
And it was crazy. And, of course, we played with people's minds sometimes about that. But he is my cousin. First cousin, not no second, seventh, 23rd,
right.
You know.
None of that fake cousin stuff.
Yeah, no fake
real
cousin.
Blood.
Real blood, definitely, definitely. So we want to give a shout out to the Philly home base. Now, for the people who aren't familiar with you, let's start at the beginning a little bit. You're from Philadelphia, and how did you get started? You know, we know your dad is a musician. Did he have a great
influence
on you? My uncle, yes. Lee Warren Smith, okay, we'll give a shout out to him too.
That's right. Yeah, he definitely was the catalyst for me playing bass. I saw him play. I think the first time I ever saw him with an instrument in his hand, you'll like this story. I saw a picture of him in Jet.
Wow.
he was playing with Billy Paul.
Okay.
And I just remember thinking, wow, my dad's in Jet magazine. and then I finally heard him play a couple of times, and I just fell in love with the instrument. And I told my mother, hey, Mom, I'm sure she's listening.
Mm-hmm.
I said, can I have a bass for Christmas? And so she bought me my first electric bass. That was Christmas of 1981. And I feel very lucky that I found my passion in life so early.
Oh, yeah.
I fell in love with it right away.
Yeah. I mean, just for memories for me of my uncle, your father, I remember as a little kid him traveling and coming home and the smell of the instrument and his case, and I couldn't touch it, you know, I was a little kid. I mean, so our family is heavily involved in music. My stepfather used to manage a jazz club, the Foxhole, here in Philadelphia. So it's definitely a part of our family. Now, after Philly, you went on to Juilliard. So how did that feel getting accepted to Juilliard? I mean, was your mind blown? Were you like, oh, I'm too good for this? Or, I mean, how did that make you feel?
My mind was completely blown because I didn't think, nor... I don't think it till this very day. I don't know how I got in because my audition was poor. At least I thought it was.
Really?
For starters, I was so nervous, you know, to be auditioning at the, you know, the world famous Juilliard School.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time just getting over the mental part. But the only thing that saved me, I think, was the fact that the four bass instructors at Juilliard were also the same four bass instructors at the Manhattan School of Music, where I auditioned 2 days later.
Okay.
And my
good.
My audition at the Manhattan School was light years better than my Juilliard audition. So I hope that, you know, I know
that has something to do with it.
I know they weren't supposed to use the Manhattan School audition, but, you know, I was hoping that they would think, okay, that's how he really sounds.
So now how do you get over your stage? I mean, do you get nervous now when you're on stage? I mean, how do you deal with that?
I don't know if I get nervous, but I definitely get anxious might be a better word.
Mm-hmm.
I've realized something about myself, particularly when I'm playing with my own band, like when I'm playing my own music.
Mm.
I have severe first song tension. Like, no matter how much I stretch, no matter how much I breathe, no matter how much I try to meditate, my hands are always completely stiff for the first song.
And let me tell you, people, he has some serious hands on him, okay? From playing this bass for so long, he has a serious grip. So if you ever meet him, just be ready to, you know, give it back to him real strong, because he has some serious hands on him. So now, what was your first, Bobby Watson noticed you. I mean, you didn't even finish Juilliard, correct?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So what was your first gig out the box, so to speak?
Excuse me. Yeah, that was definitely my first gig out of the box, Bobby Watson. Juilliard had been in session for maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks. And I'm just getting in the groove, learning all of my instructors' names and things like that. And I went to class one day and someone said, Christian, there was some man walking around here looking for you. I said, well, who was it? So I don't know, but he said he'll come and find you again later. I said, well, what did he look like? So I don't know, you know, tall black guy, real skinny. And I started getting nervous because nobody took the time to figure out what his name was. So about three or four people that day kept saying, hey, man, there's some man around here looking for you. I was like, man, I didn't know if it was like some kind of gangster.
Stalker or what? What the heck?
And Juilliard, of course, had the world's tightest security. I mean, you needed to show, like, Social Security, school ID.
Can I get a hair sample?
Everything, you know. And, you know, that was 20 years ago. So I figured, well, whoever it is, they must be important because they got in. And I went to lunch later that day, and there was Bobby Watson in the cafeteria. I was like, is that who you were talking about? And they were like, yeah, that's him.
Oh, my God. This is in a school that has music, and they didn't know who he was.
Well, it's all classical music. They don't know anybody who is basically, you know, if you're alive, they don't know you. if you're Bach, Beethoven, or Brahms, or Tchaikovsky, yeah, they know you then.
Now, but let me ask you this. That has helped you, though, your classical background. I mean, that training has definitely helped you today. Do you agree with that?
It has helped me immensely. As a matter of fact, I feel bad that, I don't feel bad, but it was my original intention to somehow have a dual career, you know, playing both jazz and classical. But I didn't realize that you don't really have a freelance career as a classical artist. I mean, particularly as a bassist. I mean, you either play in the symphony or you don't. So, you know, I was hoping that the classical world was kind of the same as the jazz world, where you just kind of pick up an orchestral gig for the weekend.
Right. But, and that wasn't your thing. You needed to move around because, I mean, you've been all over the planet. I mean, I was mentioning right before you called in that you had just was touring with Pat Metheny. You've been to South Africa. I mean, you've been to Asia. I mean, where haven't you been, I guess, is the question.
I'm dying to go to India. That's the one place I haven't been yet.
Okay. And do you think you want to work with some Indian musicians there and do something?
I would love to. Yeah, I would love to. A few years back with Pat Metheny, we went to North Africa. We went to Morocco. and we worked with these local musicians called Ganawan musicians.
Mm.
And the thing about that particular culture, it's like a blend of so many different things, because you almost have like this Middle Eastern culture, you have the Spanish culture, you have like the Arab thing, you have some West Africans there. So you have like this huge melting pot of all these different kind of things. And playing with these Ganawa musicians,
blew your mind?
It sounded so great, but, you know, I couldn't find where to clap my hands. You know, the rhythm.
Wait a second. You don't have any rhythm, Christian? Come on now.
I thought I had nothing but rhythm until I heard those guys, and then I thought, oh, wait a minute. But they were so great. They showed us, you know, how to play the music, and, you know, it was one of those true examples, one of those great examples of how music just that is the universal language, because we
it transcends, yeah.
They couldn't speak ours, but we bonded on that music, you know.
Let me talk to you a little bit about James Brown, and let me tell the audience. I know when I first started hanging out and connecting with Christian, his whole room is filled with James Brown. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a shrine in his house right now of James Brown, okay? You know, might be hidden somewhere in the deep recesses, you know? But seriously, people, James Brown is very dear, near and dear to Christian. Just talk to me about that relationship and also the opportunity you had to play with him before he passed away.
Oh, you know, Joy, I can tell you that after I worked with James Brown, I was seriously prepared for a serious bout of depression, because, as you said, you know, that's been my childhood hero. And I finally get to work with him, and I'm thinking, well, now what happens? I mean, there's nothing else left for me to do. I've worked with my number one hero, you know. It's sort of a long story. I actually started writing a book, believe it or not, because a few of my friends said, "Well, man, look, you know James, you know James Brown's music so well, and he's been like the fabric of your whole musical life. You should actually just write down your memoirs about James Brown." So, I started doing that about 4 or 5 years ago. The first time I got to meet him was in the early 90s at the Apollo Theater, and I just stood there in shock, like, you know, what am I supposed to say to this man, you know?
Okay.
And over the course of the next, I would say, 5 or 6 years, I got to know a lot of the guys in his band very well. Also very good friends. My first record was released, Getting to It, and the title track was inspired by one of James Brown's songs. So slowly but surely, I started kind of, you know, trickling my way into James Brown's circle. So finally, I started sending letters to James Brown, asking him, you know, maybe we could work together one day and make a jazz album. I knew how much he loved jazz, and, you know, particularly this record he did in 1969 called Soul on Top, with a bunch of great jazz musicians like Ray Brown and Oliver Nelson and Louis Belson. And it took a long time.
So you were stalking him, huh? You were stalking James Brown.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, no. No, but, I don't think you were stalking him, but, you know, you just were reaching out to him, just trying to make that connection.
I only got away with it because by that point I was really good friends with all of his band members. And I had records of my own out, so at least he knew I wasn't some crazy random person.
Right. You had some skills. You got some skills, you know, under your belt, so to speak.
Right.
So now you're also artistic director. Well, I'm sorry, co-director. Are you still at National Jazz Museum in Harlem?
That's correct. Yep.
And you're second creative chair for Jazz of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Association.
That's right.
So you're mentoring and working not just as out on the front, but in the background. What do you like best about helping the young people in the music, learning about music, getting in the industry? What drives you to continue to do that?
Because I remember when I was in high school and guys like Wynton Marsalis and Branford Marsalis and Terrence Blanchard, Donald Harrison, Bobby Watson, Kenny Barron, all these great musicians who I admired on records were always coming to Philly to give clinics and master classes and workshops. And kind of knowing what I know now about being on the road, that takes a lot of time and a lot of graciousness on their parts to do stuff like that when they're in the midst of a tour or they got stuff going on. But them doing that inspired me so much. You know, I mean, I think that's the number one reason why, you know, when you can have such close access to your heroes like that and then they can tell you firsthand the stuff that you want to know, I always promised myself, I said, you know, if I could ever be in that same position, I would do the exact same thing, without question.
Mm.
You
know, there's some young it's definitely cats, important.
If there's
it's
some
definitely.
Young cats, you know, who maybe I can inspire, I'm going to do it.
So now, are you still doing an XM radio station? Are you doing your own radio show?
Yes, we have 6 shows in the can so far. It's funny you should ask me that because I saw the woman from Sirius XM last night, and I said, "Yo, what is up with the final draft of this contract? Why y'all dragging, man?"
We in a recession, Christian. That's why people dragging. Come on now.
Oh, man. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But now you're also on YouTube, and you're taking a camera around with you, doing different stuff. What do you like more? I mean, do you like playing the music? Now you're talking about writing a book. I mean, you just have multifaceted. Which one do you see yourself dying? Do you see yourself dying with the bass in your hand or the pen in your hand or teaching? What do you see for the future?
Do I see myself, did you say dying?
I'm talking a long, long time from now. Come on now. You better eat your vegetables. Did you do your exercise today?
No, I've sat on the train all day long.
Oh, God.
let's see. Well, goodness.
Let's say 50 years from now, where do you see yourself?
I really don't know. I think as far as a career is concerned, you know, I never wanted to think of this as a career, but it really is. I mean, you know, playing, you know, creating art is something that, you know, that's a God-given talent. That's the spiritual connection you have with other souls, you know, creating art. But it also is a career because, you know, you got to make money. You got to learn how to market it so you can be able to create.
You
got to
keep
art.
Buying James Brown albums and stuff like that.
All that stuff, you know.
Right, definitely.
As a model, you know, I've always admired Herbie Hancock.
Okay.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think he's the baddest man on the planet because here's a man who has written film music. He's writing jazz music. He's written hip-hop music. He's hosted television shows. He's hosted radio shows. He's very multifaceted. And at the end of the day, he's still, like, the baddest piano player in the world, too. So it's like all of that stuff that he does never affected what his main thing was, and that was playing the piano. So, I always have admired Herbie Hancock.
Who did you like playing with the best? I mean, besides James Brown. I mean, you played with so many people and in so many different genres. I mean, you got the neo soul, you got the R&B, you got the jazz. I mean, who would you say was on the top of who you played with? I mean, I know you don't want to, like, you know, leave anybody out, but like you said, the top three. How about that?
Okay, maybe I can do that.
Okay.
I've surprisingly, you know, one day I looked up and realized that I've had a very long-standing, wonderful musical relationship with Chick Corea. I've worked with Chick now in a whole lot of different configurations over the course of the last, you know, 13 years. Chick was a guest on my second record, Number 2 Express. I played with him in the Remembering Bud Powell band. I just toured with him the end of last year and the beginning of this year with a group called the Five Piece Band, which also featured John McLaughlin. And Chick just, you know, he's always kept me in mind for a lot of his special projects. So I would have to put Chick up there at the top.
Okay.
Freddie Hubbard.
Freddie Hubbard, yeah.
You know, I miss him so much. You know, musicians of that kind of old school, you know, hard love school, you know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I find that a lot of musicians these days are nice. And that's not a complaint because they're still great musicians. But
okay.
Guys like Freddie, you know, I mean, they weren't nice. You know, I mean, they get right up in your face and be like, you know, look, young boy, you better get this together. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. You better shake it off. You better
right.
go run around the block or something and, you know, come back later.
You
yeah.
You start playing wrong notes. You know, and they start looking at you funny and, you know, they might threaten to beat you up. You know, you know, don't you mess my song up next time. but it was all so you could become a better musician. You know?
Right, right.
And when you did play well, they definitely gave you your props.
Mm.
So, yeah, I miss Freddie Hubbard a lot.
Let me mention real quick before you keep going, we have about 3 minutes left to the show. Christian is going to be here in Philadelphia October 16th at the Kimmel Center. That's at Broad and Spruce. And, again, that's the Kimmel Center here in Philadelphia, October 16th.
Got to come out for that.
Got to come out. After that, you're going to be in Hartford, Connecticut.
Right.
And then, now, what is this place? Slovakia? I'm being funny. I know where it is. But
yeah, right.
If you want to buy a ticket, you can go see him out there, okay? And then Vienna, Austria, and then back in the States, Chicago, Illinois, that's October 29th for anybody who's listening out in Chicago. And but you can always go to his website, www.christianmcbride.com, and check out all the things Christian McBride, you know, his gear, his music, his stories, photos, his cool shades. He always has cool shades, I have to tell you that. Oh, man. So now, when do you want this book to come out? Because I'm really interested in reading that book, and I'm sure that your fans and listeners are interested. When do you think that's going to be completed, or is that just
well,
ongoing?
I actually have to give a shout out to my manager. His name is Andre Guess. Andre is very much in the self promotion, take care of your own business kind of thing. So traditionally, you would shop around for a book deal, right? You go to,
okay.
If Simon and Schuster would put it out, or Doubleday, or any one of these big book companies, and Andre is like, look, man, put it out yourself. You know.
All right, all right. Well, you know, I just had Nikki Giovanni on the show, and she published her own stuff in the beginning.
I
because
know that.
Nobody. Oh, and I want to tell you, Nikki Giovanni is a fan of yours. She could not call in tonight, but she was like, please tell Christian.
Really?
I said, hi. And she said she's doing a gig tonight with Ruby Dee. You know, sorry, Christian. She couldn't call in because, you know, she didn't go see Ruby Dee. But she was here, and she said,
right.
Please tell him I love his music. And, you know, he is the greatest and so on and so forth. So I want to give you that.
Wow.
We have 1 minute left. What would you tell the young cats coming up now trying to get into this industry? What are some words of wisdom in the next 1 minute that you can tell the young cats?
Concentrate on being good. Don't concentrate on being successful, because if you concentrate on being good at your craft, the success will come. Sometimes the priorities get mixed up. You know, you hear a lot of young guys say, well, you know, I want to hit record, or, you know, I want to make money, or I want to be famous. Worry about being the best musician you could possibly be, or whatever it is that you do. If you're an athlete,
mm-hmm.
if you're a scientist, or if you're whatever it is, just concentrate on being the best you can be, and success will come.
Wow. I want to thank you, Cuz, for coming on tonight to the show.
I love
I want to
you.
Thank...
I miss you.
I miss you, too. You better.
You
I better see you. Yes, I will try to come to see you. You know, I'm busy, too.
I'm hip.
Oh, come on, come on. But I definitely love you, honey, and I definitely wish you all the best safety and, you know, take care of your health and, you know, definitely keep practicing, keep those hands protected.
Definitely.
And thank you, listeners, for listening this evening to the special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And check the website out for upcoming shows. You can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Again, that's SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. All right, cuz, I love you, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
You got it.
All right, peace.
All right, now.